Faithful, 145. Father, we do come this evening together as a people to think of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we do adore him. We pray that as we read and hear and sing and just consider the birth of our Savior, that we might understand what a great thing you did for us when you loved us, sent your Son. So, Father, just bless this evening. We thank you for the ones who participate. We thank you for everyone who's here, that we might just be able to rejoice together as we remember Jesus' birth. So bless us this evening, we pray, in your name. Amen. Be seated, please. We want to sing a song that's not in our hymnals. I need a couple, maybe four guys to come to hand out some song sheets, if you would, please. Just first four. Almost tradition that we sing this song every Christmas at some point. Rather than sing it in a morning service this year, I thought we could just sing it this evening. When they get it, we'll stand and we'll sing good song, Ring the Bells. Close. All right, let's stand. We'll sing Ring the Bells. Stand, please. Thank you. Be seated. We have a little choir anxiously sitting in the front rows, and Leah's going to come and bring her group to sing for us now. When you read scripture about the Christmas story, perhaps one of the passages that starts us out best is a passage from the book of Isaiah. And Wayne is going to come and read a passage, part of Isaiah chapter 40, prophecy of the coming of our Lord.
Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all of its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up on the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young.
passage that speaks about the one that they were praying for to come. It's a passage in Isaiah chapter 9, and Matt Green's going to read us a passage out of that. Isaiah chapter 9.
But there will be no more gloom for her who is in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Thou shalt multiply the nation. Thou shalt increase their gladness. They will be glad in thy presence, as with the gladness of the harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for thou shalt break the yoke of the burden and the staff on their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor, as the battle of Midian, for every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will accomplish this.
Thank you. Carson's girls have a number for us. Reflecting on the identity of that child, they're going to play What Child Is This? Children need parents, and Dodie is going to make some comments on Joseph and Mary.
We take for granted that Joseph and Mary had an easy time on their trip, but Nazareth is here. And Bethlehem is here, 80 miles south. But you don't go as the crow flies. You don't want to go through Samaria, so every self-respecting Jewish couple would have gone from Nazareth about 15 or 20 miles east, down along the Jordan River, come through Jericho and Jerusalem and on to Bethlehem. So about 120 miles. Not an easy travel when you're approximately 7 months pregnant, which is my best guess. I don't think Joseph would have had his wife to be ride a donkey or walk when she's 9 months pregnant. But 10 miles a day, 12 days, could probably do that. I mean, I couldn't do it if I were pregnant, but but they were tougher than we are. They walked all the time. So I'd like for you to think with me about what it would be like to leave Nazareth along with everybody else in the Roman Empire, because the scripture says that everybody went to their hometown. So these, we're not talking about just a gentle walk on a lane. We're talking about roads that are crowded with people going to their home country. And then to get to Nazareth down to the Jordan River, you first go up and then you go down some 700 feet below sea level and eventually get down to close to 1,000 feet or more below sea level down here close to Jericho. And that means if you've gone down, you've got to come up because Jerusalem is about 2,400 feet. And to walk up this escarpment, which is just west of the Jordan River, is no mean because the angle is about like that in some places. And so Mary had to be in really good shape. But I'd like for you to think with me about this trip that they are on and some of the things that might have happened. A couple talk sitting between a beneath a large tree by the river. Under a bright sun, the gentle breeze, they appear relaxed. Two small bundles of clothes lie at their feet, and many others walk on a nearby crowded road. The couple, Joseph and Mary. He speaks. "I fear the child within makes the journey too much for you." She responds, "No, dear Joseph, 'tis right for us to go. Rome decrees and we obey, but Adonai decrees all of that and moves the world to birth this lad in Bethlehem. And that our goal but several days away now, but heat and dust not pleasant for my love or fitting for her son. How was he named, son of the highest? But we've rested, quenched our thirst, we should be off. But here, let me help you up. No, I'll carry both of those. Oh, Joseph, to be with child does not mean helplessness. Let me carry one for a while. 'Tis enough for you to walk, a privileged mind to carry both again." And so the couple starts. They go south, traveling with the crowds, which stretched for, as far as I can see, all the way to Jericho. Some hours later, they approach the city, and Mary speaks again. "My husband, how will we find a place to bed tonight? These many must also look for bed and food." "For food, most likely 'twill be found within the gate, some bread or fruit or lamb or beef." "For bed, your speech reflects the truth. Most like we'll find no beds in town, but some grass beyond the farther city gate to sleep beneath the stars. Our precious Adonai provided welcomed rest these 12 days. Do you remember that twice in villages along the way a gracious couple rightly guessed your state and let us bed as family or friend, and did so as a gift to us? May Elohim reward their graciousness to us and him." And now several days later, having left the valley in Jericho, they have climbed the escarpment, traversed toward Jerusalem, gone through the crowded city, and exited south, still moving south, some 6 miles to Bethlehem. The road, more crowded still, winds over hills, and Mary speaks again. "Joseph, are you surprised that so many press us on our way?" "No, Mary dear, for King David had many sons, and generations since have expanded his family along with us. But most of these will likely go to other villages and towns beyond. Caesar's decree was for more than simple Bethlehem. After all, the food seller in Jerusalem said no more than 300 call that place their home." Silent again, the couple slowly moves along the road. The afternoon sun moves slowly toward the horizon to their right. They approach the crest of the final hill before Bethlehem. On the hilltop, an amazing spread of tents and people, hundreds, thousands, maybe 30,000, around the simple buildings of Bethlehem and in her fields. Mary gasps, "Joseph, how so many? Where will we stay? There'll be no place to rent, so no place to birth this lad. What will we do?" And Joseph replies, "Mary, remember, he who calls us is also he who cares. He'll not forget the lad nor us." Days pass and weeks, and now the time for birth has finally come. Joseph long ago had searched a proper place. The bursting in with many to a room and bed would never do. The keeper of the inn, the only inn in town, agreed and pointed to a humble place, but clean and private. The birthing pens for paschal lambs, for Bethlehem's the source of many lambs, who die as pious Jews recall the day of Exodus from slavery, rescued then by sovereign power, passed over by judgment angel's death. And so tonight the paschal lamb, who takes away the sins and sin, whose blood will cleanse the blackened hearts, whose risen power flows to myriads of saints, will take initial breath and cry and nurse and be adored and praised in feeding trough in Bethlehem.
Sue Kellogg has a number for us now. Dodie mentioned in his reading about the fact that Mary and Joseph were going to Bethlehem because of the Romans, but we know that the Lord was just using the Romans to get them to Bethlehem. And Josh Looney is going to come and read us a prophecy out of Micah chapter 5 about Bethlehem.
But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. And this one will be our peace.
Jerry's going to sing about the birthday of a king at this time.
of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day. And the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Hallelujah, how the angels sang. Hallelujah, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king.
Was a time of great joy, and we can express that by turning in our hymnals to number 125. 125, and we'll stand and sing Joy to the World. Thank you. Be seated. Ashley's going to come now and play Hark the Herald Angels Sing for us.
Thank you.
No Christmas celebration to be complete without what we normally think of as the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2, talking about the events of the birth and the angelic announcement. Rick and the family are going to come and bring us Luke chapter 2.
Without the gift and grace of God through the birth of Jesus Christ, we have nothing. Everything hinges on this moment, this birth of our Savior. Let us celebrate, rejoice, and remember. And from our family to yours, Merry Christmas. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born.
And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly there appeared a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "On whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord had made known to us."
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart.
And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
That passage tells of some of the details of the birth of Christ, sort of from an earthly perspective. Rebecca Bacow has a few verses out of John chapter 1 that perhaps give us some of the happenings behind the birth of Christ.
John 1:1-4 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning from God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Kristen and Megan have a song about the Lord.
Thank you.
Take your hymnals and turn to 133. The words say, with the angelic host proclaim, even as the ladies had just sung, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Stand, please, and we'll sing all three verses. Hark, the herald angels sing. You be seated. Phil Kelly's going to come and read us the last of our more familiar passages, this one relating to an event that happened after the birth with the coming of the wise men from Matthew chapter 2.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for this young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house,
They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
And the Greens have a song for us.
Before we start, we're going to read English because it's in the traditional Latin. So you know what we're saying when we're singing this. It's Personet Hodie. On this day people sing, singing praises to our King. Joyfully now we sing to the King of Glory. He is born on this day, Gloria in Excelsis.
All on earth now rejoice, to the King lift your voice. He is born on this day, in a stable lowly. He is born on this day, Gloria in Excelsis. From the east wise man came. Where is he who is born? Born today in a lowly manger. We have come to worship. We bring gifts, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. We will offer to him.
All the people that dwell on the earth now rejoice. Join the angels' refrain, Gloria in Excelsis. Gloria in Excelsis. He is born.
Has a song that takes us not only from the coming of the Lord to his invitation to us. Raquel? David Kane has a reading for us that's based on the ministry and the person of Christ out of the book of Hebrews, the eternal Savior. David?
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 1 is an awesome passage, and if you haven't already done so, I strongly encourage you to commit it to memory, because it gives us the entire history of the universe from the beginning to past the end. So from eternity past to eternity future, God has got your life and all your circumstances mapped out. And He is indeed the eternal Savior. And Hebrews chapter 1 gives us some brief glimpses into the throne room of God and into our triune God and His work in history. And so we have here the eternal Savior. Father and Son, different only in name, while in essence they are one and the same. The Father's visage from His Son's face shone, and the Father's glory was Christ on. The Father created, He gave the command, and the worlds were made by the Son's own hand. All things were His. Over all He did reign. By the word of His power, all things sustain. The whole universe is His royal attire, while His angels are merely wind and fire. They are sent as messengers, glorious, for the King of Kings, all victorious. And when He descended to earth's lowly realm, the angels were sent down to worship Him. So great was their joy in rejoicing on high, they burst into song, their light filled the sky. They told the good news to the watchers of sheep, that the Lamb of God in a manger did sleep. And the mighty angels worshiped that day the tiny baby asleep on the hay. The great God of heaven walked among men, and all by Himself atoned for our sin. In His death on the cross, death itself did die, and He redeemed His own to live on high. He burst from the grave, cast the stone away, and left the grave clothes where His body lay. The angels proclaimed, "Be of good cheer. He arose from the dead. He is not here." The victorious warrior returned home and claimed the exalted eternal throne. Seated the right hand of God Most High, He lives evermore, that man may not die. His head, which once a wreath of thorns bore, now the royal crown of majesty wore. His hands, once nailed to a cruel tree, now hold the golden scepter of majesty. The righteous scepter is placed in His hand, and the whole universe is His to command. Only those bidden may approach His throne and find the peace He gives to His own. Though Satan will still rage and storms abound, we may approach the throne where grace is found. And the righteous scepter which grants us life stops the world's proud waves and ends its strife. As by the Father He again takes His seat, the wicked are made a stool for His feet. The elect, whom He has redeemed from sin, will forever reign together with Him. But the universe, all tattered and torn, cursed by man's sin, of its glory shorn, is no longer fitting to clothe the King. Once more our Savior will do a new thing. The old universe, with its pain and hurt, He will cast off like a worn-out old shirt. He will be clothed with a universe new, but He will remain unchanging and true.
Very appropriate to follow that by turning to number 88 and singing a song that relates to our eternal Savior, Fairest Lord Jesus. We'll stand and we'll sing the first and last verse. We'll let the piano accompany us on the first verse, and then the last verse we'll sing a cappella. And if you can sing parts, there'll be a magnificent choir. And so pick a part and sing a part on the last verse. We'll sing just the first and the last verse about our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Be seated, please. Could I have my four helpers to hand out another song with which we'll close our program? If you don't do it all the time. So this is about the 16th year, so it's almost a tradition, right? And we close our family time, at least this aspect of it, by singing a song, the words by Janet Humphrey, set to the melody of the 12 Days of Christmas, but just describing Jesus Christ, God's only Son, glory to God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and we just trust that this will just focuses us in on the things that we have talked about and heard sung and read and spoken tonight about the birth of Christ. And then we invite you after we sing to continue with us in our celebration by going to the fellowship hall where we have some refreshments and just, again, just sharing God's goodness with us and trust it'll be a blessing. So let's stand and we'll go sing through these 12 verses.
On the very first Christmas, the angels came to sing to the shepherds on the hillside. On the very first
dismissed to the fellowship hall. Thank you.